will be given by your Spirit and receive in our hearts by your Spirit, so that we may have the spirit of missions to bring others close and dear to us, the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to those who are far, that all may have the opportunity to hear your gospel, to repent, and to receive life in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Please be seated. Today we commence a new church liturgical year with Advent Sunday. And in this bicentennial year, there's a juxtaposition with yesterday, the Feast of St. Andrew the Apostle, who's the patron saint for this cathedral. The first structure was St. Andrew's Church, and because the congregation of the East India Company then was largely from Scotland, so the patron saint of Scotland, St. Andrew, was what this church and later the cathedral was named after. And so it is most appropriate that this season of Advent meaning coming, focusing on the second coming of Jesus, prepare us for the season of Christmas as we focus on the first coming and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is even better that St. Andrew's, the Apostles' Day, is often marked by intercession for foreign missions. Because news arrived on the 29th of November in the UK that the missionary bishop somewhere in New Zealand or thereabout had been martyred. And so it drove the church to set apart the day before St. Andrew's Day as a day of intercession for the mission work of the church. So this, to me, is often the missing element in our contemporary observance of Advent. When we, yes, look forward to the return of Jesus, but unfortunately, we forget that we have a part in hastening the return of Jesus, to wait on the Lord, to wait not in a passive manner, but in an active manner. 2 Peter tells us, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God? And so it is apt that St. Andrew the Apostle shows us how to hasten to fulfillment of God's promise, the promise recorded by Paul in Philippians, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So God has given this promise, and all the other promises have been fulfilled. The Messiah, the remnant of Israel, Jesus, the Word incarnate, his ministry, death, resurrection, ascension, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. But one outstanding promise of God yet to be fulfilled. And aptly enough, the church has used the season of Advent to start the church calendar, the unfulfilled promise. Now, Peter also tells us that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so God has promised, God has sent his Holy Spirit, God has given us his word, and now it is up to us to bring about the promise that God has made. And he works through those who follow him and those who obey him. 1 Timothy, God, our Savior, desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? For there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. So this is the passion of God, God's desire, that all made in his image should have the opportunity to repent, because all have sinned, and the wages of sin is eternal death. And God has provided the only means in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And so it is a stirring example of St. Andrew that inspires us in Advent and to the end of our lives, daily, until Jesus returns, to both personal witnessing and to foreign missions, world evangelization. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul addresses the Corinthian Christians and says, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait, W-A-I-T, wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you work. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship, into the mission of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, when Paul tells Timothy in his last letter, and but not just to Timothy, but to all of us individually and as a church, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing, his advent, and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Whether it is convenient to you or not, we are to preach the word. Of course, we must give consideration to the listener, whether for them it is in season or out of season. But for the Christian, whether it's convenient or not, it is our responsibility to preach the gospel. Reproof, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Personal witnessing through sharing a testimony, sharing the good news, your testimony, not just your conversion testimony, but how God answers prayer, how God changes your life, your lifestyle, your values, and also to look on God for signs and wonders as you do good works, a tangible sign that God has changed you from loving self, the world, and the devil, and loving others, even at cost to yourself. So personal evangelism and world evangelization. I always marvel and remember Bishop Kwan Kim Sing, who always used this verse, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So the end is not just watching for wars and rumors of wars and famines and so on, but it is you and I having an active part in propagating the good news of Jesus to others, irrespective of gender, of age, of education, of ethnicity, of geographical location. God tells us until every people, tribe, nation, and tongue, and every individual has been evangelized. That will be the sign, the key sign for the return of Jesus, not a moment earlier. God said to Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So we, as sons and daughters of Abraham, are to make sure that every people group, family, individual, male or female, young or old, disabled or whole, all of them know the wholeness of the gospel that is found in Jesus. And so all of us are called, firstly, today in the, as we look at Andrew, we have in the gospel reading, the first of three accounts of how Andrew brought people to the Lord Jesus. In John 1, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," that is in Hebrew, which means Christ, Christos in Greek. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Kephas," which means Peter. So here we have the first importance, those who are near and dear to us. And so this burden to pray for our own immediate families, our extended families, and beyond that, our neighbors, our fellow countrymen, as Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth," in ever-widening concentric circles. The second, in John chapter 6, we read, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Jesus said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Now one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There is a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish." Then he falters and he says, "But what are they for so many?" So the man sat down, about 5,000 in number. And when they say men, that 5,000 were literally men, adult males. How about the women and the children? All fed from five loaves and two fish, and brought by the boy his lunch for that day. So the ministry of bringing children to the Lord, children who can lead others to Christ, and not only later when they're adults. Remember that Psalmist says, "Out of the mouth of babes and infants will come the praises of God." So Matthew 19:14, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them. So we, as we remember this bicentennial year, especially the Anglican Church, formerly the Church of England, have been blessed because we were there right at the beginning when there was need for education, there was need for community service and health care, such that they have become the pillars of our outreach. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The third instance is in John chapter 12. Among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, a Greek-speaking area, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls in the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." That is what God calls us to do. He calls us to love Him above every other thing. Legitimate loves, the love for spouse, for children, for parents, for country. And yet He says the love for God must be unrivaled. That love must be so great that all other loves must appear like hate. Otherwise, we're not loving God enough and loving people whom God loves. And therefore, we find Jesus going on to say, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." To remember, as we serve those in need, those without the gospel, and share the gospel with them, we are doing it unto Jesus. And so Andrew did. How about us today? We may be members of the cathedral, we may be Christians, but not members. We may not know Jesus, but God tells us to be Andrews. Every Christian disciple is called to be fat, faithful, available, and teachable. To be conformed to Jesus' example and to be obedient to His command. We read that while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, follow my example, and I will make you fishers of men. Be with me, and I will teach you fishing." And so, Mark 10:45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Only Jesus can give his life as a ransom for many. But all who follow him are called also to lay down our lives so that we may serve the gospel, may serve the King, and bring others into his kingdom. As Reinhard Bonnke has said, to plunder hell and to populate heaven. And in the process, Paul says, "Him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Not just share the gospel to everyone, but disciple everyone who comes into the kingdom so that they may be complete, perfect, fruitful, like Jesus Christ. And so the Great Commission continues to resound. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." How do you make disciples? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There were 33 that were baptized yesterday here. And secondly, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Not just some things or things that you prefer, but all that Jesus has commanded us. And only in that context, as we obey, as we baptize and teach, Then he says, "Behold, I'm with you always to the close of the age." Many of us want the blessing of God. But how many of us also want to obey his great commission? Every Christian disciple has a mandate that Jesus Christ bore. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He has done his task. The unfinished task is to bring what he has done through the Word and by the Holy Spirit to the lives of others. They may be adamant persecutors of the gospel and of Christians, but Jesus loves them. Are we filled with his love, with his spirit, so that we are willing to count the costs and pay the price, so that they too may have the opportunity that we have? Paul the Apostle declared, "If I preach a gospel that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but not of my own will. I am still entrusted with a stewardship, an oikonomos. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." And that's the bottom line for every Christian. We cannot bring our money, our comforts, our length of years, our health beyond this life. But what we can bring is to bring others who God uses through us in this life to come under the sound of the gospel, to repent and to receive Jesus and be transformed by the Holy Spirit, and in turn to become disciple makers. By all means, save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. We find that in Matthew 9, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion. And this is the Greek understanding of, and Hebrew understanding of, the emotions being in the viscera, in the organs of the body, heart and so on. And so they moved there by his compassion, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Your harvest is plentiful. The Christian disciples may also be many, but there are few who are willing to labor, to sacrifice, to suffer, to lay down their careers, lay down their family obligations for the sake of the gospel. And Jesus, therefore, has to send out laborers into his harvest. It's the same Greek word, ekbalo, when Jesus cast out demons from demon-possessed people. The demons didn't want to leave. So we too, we don't want to leave. We love the comfort, we love the fellowship, but we have to be cast out so that others may have the opportunity not just to live, but to know that they're sinners and to know that Jesus alone saves them. And so this is what being an Andrew in this time of Advent, what it means. We will go on to Holy Communion and Paul's call to remembrance, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So there are three aspects to Holy Communion. Jesus died for our sins. He instituted the covenant through his body and blood. Today we receive it as we repent and receive God's forgiveness and God's enabling through the Holy Spirit. But the third aspect is that of Advent, the Lord's Supper, the wedding feast, when Jesus comes again. And so whenever we have Holy Communion, it's not just the second Advent, but what are we going to do between now and the return of Jesus? You and I have a vital part. It's not just the pastors who do it, the missionaries who do it. It's a church member. It's a local church that does it. Until he comes. And we have to commit ourselves along with Andrew the Apostle to sacrificial and fruitful witnessing, to complete the Great Commission, to bring the gospel to every tribe, people, nation, and tongue, to every family and individual. And I always treasure this King James Version, a rendering of Isaiah 53:11, that Christ Jesus may see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. So Jesus didn't just die for us. He died for the whole world. And unless we are willing to trouble ourselves, to follow the example of Jesus, obey his command, to follow people like Andrew. Andrew may be our spiritual mentor. As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Finally, it is Jesus Christ who is the one whom we emulate. But God gives us Andrew. God gives us those who have brought us to Christ. But in order that Christ may see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And so Andrew has done his part. And he has joined what we call the church triumphant, joining the prayers of Jesus for us that we may do our share, that we may even complete the task of world evangelization in our generation. And if we can do it in our generation, then Jesus will come. That is what he promised. But you and I have that vital role to fulfill his promise.